It's a blessing that your eyes that they see and your ears that they hear. Father, we say thank you. We bless you because you are forever faithful. We come to you today, Lord, with renewed hearts. Lord, bless us once again. Bless us with your word and strengthen our spirit. Thank you, for in Jesus' powerful name we have prayed.
Amen. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
Now, we are going to continue in the spirit of prayer. But before we continue, as usual, you know, we'll take some instruction. And before we do that, we'll take our declaration of understanding. So let's take our declaration like that. Once you let's go, now I declare.
Now I declare.
The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, can we open our Bibles? I want us to start today from the book of Psalm 121. It's a psalm we all know very well. I just feel like we should start with it. And there's something I want to explain with it again. Not a new doctrine, but something we need to remember. The book of Psalms 121. I know we all know it by heart, don't we? Unless you didn't go to a Christian primary school. If you went to Christian primary school, you must have, or if you went to, Sunday school in church. I learned this as a child. But let me just read it from my Bible. The first one is a question, actually. All right? When it says, I will lift up my head to the hills, it's actually a question. Will I lift up my head to the hills? He said, no. If I look up there, my help does not come from there. Where my help comes from is from the Lord. So I'll start from verse 2. From where shall my help come from? That's the end of verse 1. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Now, so that we can say amen to that, let me read it again. Others, all of you are itching to say amen, right? Mm-hmm. He will not allow your foot to slip.
Amen.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Amen.
He said, the Lord is your keeper.
Amen.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
Amen.
The sun will not smite you by day.
Amen.
The moon will not smite you by night.
Amen.
The Lord will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
He will keep your soul.
Amen.
The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in.
Amen.
He will guard it from this time forth and forever.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Now that you have collected the blessing there, let me now go back to the reason why I read this. It said, my help comes from the Lord. He will not allow your foot to slip. The Lord who helps will not allow your foot to slip. Now, please notice those two things. My help comes from the Lord. And this God who helps me will not allow our feet as his people to slip. Last time we began to look at how to overcome or overcoming temptations as children of God. Overcoming temptations. Now, we are going to look at the steps involved. It's our school of prayer. And why I read this is that many of us will remember that if I need help, maybe I have an exam. Do you understand? I need to pass. And I'm reading. I ask the Lord for help. And I expect help from him. Do you understand? If I need to do something difficult in life, I'm starting a project. My help comes from the Lord. I'm going to war as a king those days in Israel, or even today as a military man, I'm going to battle. I easily quote this scripture. My help comes from the Lord. But I want to remind us, and that's what the Spirit is placing upon my heart to discuss today, beginning from last time, that the help to overcome temptation also comes from the Lord. Did you hear what I said? The help to overcome temptation, all forms of temptations, that help also comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our trying. It does not come from our effort. Listen to this. It does not come from our righteous determination. I use the word righteous determination because as a holy person, Jesus would come, let me remove the Lord Jesus for a moment. Someone will come to you and tell you you will deny the Lord 3 times. No, that you will deny the Lord. You say, pray that you don't enter into temptation. So you brag that there's nothing. I'm with you all the time. The Lord will now look and say, this guy is going to deny me 3 times. You know, you like Peter, it's easy to brag that can never happen. Do you know why? You are so certain about your love for him. You've left all. You know, remember fishing? You used to be a fisherman. Then you left fishing. The last 3 years, you've been following him up and down. And somebody say you would deny him. You know, you think, go and find something else to say. But the Lord could see it ahead. That before the cock crows twice today, you would deny me 3 times. Peter said that was not possible. Now, this is how I picture it in my mind. By the time he had denied the Lord the 3rd time, and he heard the cock crow the 2nd time, he didn't know what happened. It was in his mind after we started replaying the things that happened. It was rapid. Suddenly, somebody boxed him into a corner. You look like one of them. Like who? No, his followers. No, not me. Another person came and said, from the way you talk, you sound like a Galilean. You must be one of them. No, I said I don't know him. Then another person came. Young lady, say, you, I saw, what are you denying? I saw, he then began to take her notes. Whoa, may my own not better if I was. Now, you know, Jesus was not angry. How can you be angry when you knew that's what would happen? Why would you be angry when you know the reason why he would do it? It wasn't being malicious. It was just that he didn't have the strength for that kind of temptation. Did you get my point? He didn't have that strength. That level of temptation was beyond him. And where he failed was not in denying the Lord. Where he failed was when they said, pray that you will not enter into temptation, he went to sleep. When they told him, pray, so that things, you will not deny the Lord under pressure. He was so convinced that can't happen to me. No, you don't understand. No, Judas, I understand. I never understood his movement all this while. When he would be giving an account, I used to watch him closely, you know. So he could understand Judas denying the Lord. But that me, Peter. Do you know, how many people remember Thomas? Some people call him Doubting Thomas. I don't call him Doubting Thomas. No, I don't think he's right. I think it's a very bad way to remember such a holy man. Such a righteous man. If you ask me, I think if you had to score the most zealous of these followers, it was amongst the top 3. Now, that's my opinion. I may not be right, but my reason is because when they were going back to Bethany to go and raise Lazarus, all of them protested. It was Thomas that said, let us go and die with him. And that was recorded. Because all of them were like, excuse me. He said, we are going to Bethany. He said, why? Lazarus is asleep. Peter said, praise God. He fell asleep. He's no longer moaning and groaning. If he's asleep, he means he's on his way to recovery. Why? Because that was one place they had tried to kill Jesus before. They had tried to stone him. So they felt this was not a good area to go back to. Even you used to tell us, when you are persecuted in one city, move to the next. So this is not a place we should go to. When did you understand? And I'm trying to compile. You can help me, all right, later. All the places where Jesus just used to cause trouble with the way he used to talk. You know, he did a lot of that. He said, destroy this temple in 3 days, raise it up. Everybody goes crazy over it. Then later on, we heard that he was not talking about physical building. He was talking about his body. This is one of those places where he created problems for them. He said, Lazarus is asleep. Ah, they said, praise God. That means he's recovering. Then finally he had to explain, our friend Lazarus is dead. And I'm happy for your sakes that I was not there. All right? So we are going there to go and wake him up. At that point in time, they realized he was resolute. There was no turning him back. So Thomas said, let us go and do what? And die with him. That's what Thomas said. That's why I don't call him Doubting Thomas. I rather call him the Zealous Thomas. However, he didn't know when he doubted. That's where I'm going. And please, just to get it clear, he was not worse than the other disciples. They all saw the Lord. They didn't believe because they had faith. They all saw. He just happened to have gone home. His wife called him to bring something to the house. So the Lord knew he went home. And he showed up just to make an example of Thomas and give an instruction for the rest of us, people who will come, you know, days later. That was why he did what he did. What I'm trying to say, he didn't have the energy. I first took time out to explain how zealous he was. Yet the time came, it was bigger than him. He doubted. Are you getting my point? Pressure comes in this life. Pressure comes. That was why Jesus told his people, pray that you do not enter into temptation. It was an instruction. Pray so that you will not fall for temptation. Pray so that you'll be protected against temptation. That's why I read, my help comes from the Lord, that he will not allow your foot to slip. Even when it comes to resisting temptation, pray. I hope you're getting my point. Don't say, now one of the things you have to avoid is this, we don't know it's pride, but that's the way it is. I am not like them. Do you know, you ask an average Nigerian, now I can assure you of this, okay? Take my word for it. What I'm telling is very true. An average Nigerian on the street is as corrupt, actually, more corrupt than the politician he's angry with. There are those who wish, you know, how many people remember Jerry Rawlings? He came to Ghana and shot politicians. We had it in Nigeria too. It only led to a civil war. Some people think they can get up and shoot politicians and then everything will now be okay. So you think Bola Tinubu, what's the name of our vice president? His name is not Shettima. He has a proper name. What are his full names? Eh? They don't know. Kashim Shettima. What's the name of our brother Akpabio? Godswill Akpabio. Now I've mentioned their names, number one, number two, number three citizens of Nigeria. You think they are worse than the Eswama guy in Enugu? Or the MOT enforcer? Elder John, you remember the way MOT locked your tire? For nothing. When, you know, Elder John doesn't lie. Elder John is a very gentleman. I was coming to, it was a Tuesday, I was heading for Bible study, I got there. I saw Elder John arguing with some people. I parked my car, I came down. They said he beat traffic light. I said, this man cannot beat traffic ant. You are talking about traffic light. I said, this man. No, I told them, I said, you guys see, you don't understand. I don't need to hear what happened. But this is the man you are pointing at. I said, it's not possible. He's one of the most righteous people in Enugu. I'm gentler than people like Junior Israel. You understand? Jonathan is worse than me. I know that one. Did I tell you the day I saw, I was coming to JJ in the morning. One guy blew past me, view on the road. I looked at the car. Judah, yeah. Let me not tell you more. They said one day Jonathan was driving to Osuka. Everybody suddenly wore seatbelt. Pa, 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 pa. As he took off, they said, excuse me, where are my seatbelt? People were just, before that, they were just in. I'm more righteous than all those people. But one person more righteous than me is Elder John. John is more righteous than I am. I don't know. Thank God for the grace. God has worked in his life. Seriously. So MOT man now said, he beat traffic light. I said, it's not possible. By the time I asked him what happened, actually, he wasn't even the one driving. When he explained to me what happened, I looked at this man that, can't you see
that he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't see who to catch. They saw the gentleman to catch. But God gives me wisdom. I didn't argue with them. I said, okay, see. I just talked to them. I said, he's a man of God. This is a way of telling that if you do anything, God will punish you. I don't have to say anything. This guy is a man of God, though. At the end of the day, one man he was looking at me defiantly. That I should go and pay money into the IGR account. I said, oh, this is about generating revenue. Not about right and wrong. In my mind, if this revenue enters that coffer, you know, those coffers, that's Jonah entering your boat. But good enough, the most senior guy, after a while, he looked at me. He said, they should remove all their gongoro and let him go. And as these people sit in their homes, I'm telling him there's a corrupt politician in Abuja. Do you know this guy who wrote that Supreme Court judges are corrupt and they went and locked him up? That lawyer, that troublesome lawyer. I laugh at people like him. You know why I laugh at them? They don't know the problems of Nigeria yet. Then later on, he found out the problem of Nigeria. Apparently, his wife owns a restaurant. One day, the wife drove there on a weekend. They were not open. And they saw her workers. They had brought out, I've forgotten how many crates of eggs? Three crates. How many eggs do you have per crate? These men and women were going to demolish 90 eggs. How many tubers of yam? Between 12 and 18 tubers, I'm not very sure of the number, they were ready to slaughter. Then the madam happened to walk in on them. Now, you know I'm telling the story. The troublesome lawyer, the anti-establishment lawyer, the guy that makes all the trouble against people in power, he said, these same people are criticizing government. I said, oh, now your eye is opening. I said, now you are getting it. The guy was like, he couldn't believe this. You are not controlling budget. You are not controlling oil revenue. You are not collecting taxes. You're only just to man egg and yam, and the egg is not complete. Now listen, this is the one they walked in on. The ones that have damaged over the years, we don't know. I just came back I traveled over the, when I was not around on Saturday, where I went to Benin for a meeting. One of my sisters, she and her husband, they own a fish farm. When she was telling me stories, one man who owns a restaurant down the road called the boy working there, supply me fish, we'll share the money later. And he was already supplying, I don't know how many cages of fish he had already given that man. It was the neighbors that called the man, said, Oga, come. This is your boy. Do you know he comes very early to work? The man said, I thought he was diligent. He said, it's not diligent. So he comes to evacuate fish. I told my sister, I told him the story. I said, I hope you went to collect police. He said, yes. The problem was some people that they start begging. It's not the boy that was Nairobi, he was a young guy. He's a man that owns a restaurant down the road. I just wish that somebody would charge him to court and make him do just 6 months imprisonment. That's why I laugh at people like Jerry Rawlings. You want to shoot politicians? The guy on the street is worse. He's far worse. That's why I talk the way I do. I know the heart of human beings, extremely wicked. They are wicked. And all they are complaining about is that they feel somebody else is eating and they are not the ones eating. That's the problem. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with righteousness. They are not interested in it. Why am I saying this? So when I see some of these people who want to, they think the problem we have in any country is the leaders. I say, you don't understand. It's not. The democracy, the kind of democracy we operate, whether you like it or not, all our leaders grew out of the democratic population. They don't have a lineage that is like a ruling house. They don't have. You've seen it. Go and check it. Most of our governors didn't have prominent fathers. I won't mention him. There's one governor in Nigeria. My friend said, he served in the state. He said, when I was there, this guy was an agbero. That he used to walk the streets with slippers. He became governor. We've had governors who are doctors, who are lawyers. We've had governors who are agberos. That's what I'm making. Everybody. There was a guy, He joined Labour Party ahead. He did not know he could win. He just put his name down. He was riding his keke when they said, "Oh boy, you've won to House of something? House of Reps. Okay, I don't know, you are now an honorable, but do you follow my point? You are honorable now." So this is a country where our rulers are drawn from the general populace. If you want to kill them, you have to kill the general everybody. So I love pastors, so you know I'm a pastor. We are the ones that collect the Thanksgiving offering. Where's Okiri Mute? Is it not us? This man says he's not collecting Thanksgiving offering ever since last Friday, last week Saturday. You know he married that too. Now he's collecting Thanksgiving offering too. Hallelujah. He's now a man of God. Until 10 days ago, he was a boy in ministry. Now he's a man of God. So if you want to start shooting people, join us too. We'll all volunteer. I put Jonathan in front. Even this elder John, I won't spare him. I don't care how holy and righteous he is. We are going for the shooting together. They must shoot all of us. The Lord is good. All of this talk, I'm going to explain something here. Eh? One of the things you don't do, remember that what I said, don't stop pointing fingers. Don't point fingers as, look at them. This is us. We are better than them. I've seen it again and again. I don't want to start giving stories now. People, this pointing of fingers. Paul said it like this. If anyone is overtaken in a fault, those of you that are spiritual, resource such a one, that say, fearing, looking to yourself also, lest you be tempted. This is something that the Lord has, well, having understood all of these things. Anytime I hear, usually with preachers, when I hear the preacher did something, all right, that is so terrible, you know, you hear all kinds of things. When I hear something, you know, there are things you hear, your ears will tingle. That did a person do this? Did a preacher do this? A pastor of a church, somebody who stands before the congregation of the people of God, he did this? Do you know what I've learned? Anytime I hear that, I go and pray. The idea of it was wicked, don't mind it. No. You know what I found out? I don't know how he got up to that point. Asa was very zealous. After 35 years of peace, he began to imprison prophets. I'll be getting my point. He refused to seek the Lord. So what I have learned is that when it gets to such points, I go home. No matter how low down, far beneath me normally, the issue is, I go and pray. I just say, Lord, see that thing, what that man do. It's a simple prayer. May I never do it. It has reached a point that I've essentially told the Lord that, that kind of thing. With the investment you have made in my life, with the investment you have made in your word that is through me to other people, with the example you have made me to my children and many people who listen to me, dear Lord, before we reach this point, I approve ahead. Call me home. Yeah, it's too, do you get my point? No. We don't want to finish it in a bad way. It is better. I'm sure my wife will approve. Say, my husband, you want to go home? I want to go. Let it not be said. Do you know, somebody explained something. I don't have time to go into it. That do you know why Paul was put in prison by the Romans? It was God that imprisoned Paul. Do you remember that time that Paul shaved his hair? He made a vow and all of that. He said, if you know the plans, the Judaists in the church, amongst the church leaders, the apostles, if you know the plan they had, God said, no, I won't let this plan stand. So what did God do? God said, pick him up. So what else noise you heard in Jerusalem? They now removed him. And they planted him and they put him in. He said, it was God that put him in a cage. That was God that put him in a cage. That what the plan, when I heard it, I don't have time to go into the analysis of it now, but just hear the surface of it. They said the plan was that men were going to spread the message that even Paul keeps the law. Yeah. That the plot was clear. If it's today, they will snap it. Instagram, all kinds of social media. They will show him with the vow that he took, how he shaved his head and everything. Say, what are you guys saying? He keeps the law. He wrote the book of Galatians. Forget that thing. He keeps the law. That when God saw it, God said, yeah, Give me the guy. That's how people saw him. Riot broke out. It was just God extracting him. So by the time he went under so much attack, nobody could say he keeps the law, because the violence against him was because they said he broke the law and he taught people that Moses was not important and he was undermining the integrity of the temple. I said, fine, gospel is neat now. I cannot be stained. So there are things God will just look and say, hey, let's, and I told the Lord, please. Eh? So right now, to stay alive, are you getting my point? With that kind of arrangement with the Lord, to stay alive, I have to remain sane. Because I have begged the Lord, do not let me be established in insanity. Brethren, see, this is not, it's not pride. What I'm about to tell you. Many people follow me. Yeah. I went the other day, just went to the bank. Not the bank I go use normally. Even though I have an account, they will hardly go there. Maybe on the average, once every 2 years. Any of their branches. It's a place I hardly go. I walked in. The guy was going to attend to me. He suddenly jumped up. You're welcome, sir. You know we have never met before, because he had to confirm. Am I seeing who I'm seeing? What do you think you are seeing? Pastor Banky, I said, okay, there is the correct person. Because you may be seeing that, you may think it's Ashiwaju you are seeing now. It's not Ashiwaju, it's just me. After attending to me in the bank, before I left, he could give me a short summary of how his life has been because of the word that we teach. And he has never been here. See, it is not necessary for me to make them start arguing and defending me on things that are not defendable. So I told the Lord, please, please, let's never get there. That's the point. I said, Lord, please, let it never get there. No matter what it is, you know what to do. I am not somebody that will keep on saying, those people. There's a Pharisee spirit. The Pharisee spirit will say, we will fast twice a week. We're not like them. Which is what an average person is like. Tell you that all these politicians, they're just wishing somebody will come and imprison all of them. And God say, if I imprison the person you are thinking of for 5 years, I'll give you life imprisonment. You that's talking. Because of the wickedness of your soul. It's a Pharisee spirit. I'm better than them. I'm not like this. I'm not like that. Which is nothing but self-confidence. So I learned. Anytime I hear those things, like I said to you, I always say, Father God, please, now I beg, I won't beg you. This man was so straight in my eyes. I never knew he could do things like this. I said, there are people, now listen. I said, Lord, there are people who look at me the way I used to look at this man. Let's not disappoint them. I'm telling you sincere prayers I pray. So, because, you know, you want to know the truth? You don't know the amount of temptation you cannot resist. You don't know it. You don't know it. There's a proverb, Nigerian proverb, Western Nigeria. Is there somebody who calls himself a man? He has not seen the real war. I don't know where I get the point. Yeah, there's a proverb like that. Jonah, do you know it? They say that it's when the fight has not reached you, that is, you have not gotten into the fight, you call yourself a man. That when fight comes, there's a kind of war you will see. You know you are not a man. There's a kind of trouble you will see. The idea of I'm a man will just leave your mind. And like Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the face. David described it like this. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed. It's possible to be overwhelmed. Peter was overwhelmed. I'm telling you, Peter was overwhelmed. It was because he was overwhelmed that he denied the Lord 3 times. That's it. So I learned. When I hear things like that, it's not like, you know, we can never do this. I say, Banky, you have not been overwhelmed. Now, please, get my point. I'm not justifying falling for all kinds of iniquity. I hope you get my point. No, I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying everybody that falls for anything, don't mind, you know, like, it's okay. No, that's not it. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that if it is possible I'm talking about ministers now, for a minister to fall for something, I don't immediately say that I'm too big for that. No. I immediately tap extra grace. Because you may think that, because the real thing is that you may think you can't. Meanwhile, you can. Yeah, that's what happened to Peter. You think that, no, I can't fall for this. But God said, you don't know yourself. In fact, when it comes to a man like David, you know, have mercy on people like, you know, when I look at David, you know, I've told you before, when I look at a man like David, I used to wonder that, and you too, you call yourself a man of God. Why not that God testified about David? When I read the details of his life, it's just a testimony of God that lets us follow David, though. And then he is a prophet. He wrote a lot of prophetic things. He used to see, I mean, he had messianic visions. He would sit down and suddenly the spirit of Christ. Yeah. He used to be possessed by the spirit of Christ. Oh, I love David for that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That's messianic. You go and read Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. That was messianic. You go to Psalm 22, 23, 24. Especially 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? The man was having visions. He was possessed with the spirit of Christ. I love him for that. His own songwriting was not natural skill. It was a prophetic. The Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. His own sounds were prophetic. The sweet psalmist of Israel. That's what God called him. But when I look at his life, other times, I look at David there. And you know, I'm happy. In fact, I'm the one that's even spoiling his name because most people don't know that part of David. David was a, let me not use the word terrible. David loved women. Let me not call it womanizer. The law of Israel did not let him womanize. But David had more women than an average womanizer today. Yeah, the only thing about the law that God gave them, he had to marry them or keep them as concubines. And you know what? God didn't like the idea. No, God never liked it. God kept on saying, David, relax now. He said, but she's not somebody's wife now. God said, it doesn't matter. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Let's go to war. He'll go and fight. On his way back, now I didn't read in his Bible, I'm imagining it. When they do spoils, you know where God, David used to go and choose spoils? Spoils of war. You know now. Amongst the, not sheep. Now what is he doing with sheep? Gold? He had gold. David didn't have time for that. Spoils, the maidens. Where do you think he got the concubines from? Where do you think Solomon learned from? Solomon learned from somebody. That was very bad. I know the truth. God was not happy about it. You know why I'm saying so? Well, I'm telling the story. That, listen to this carefully. That was what led to the experience with Bathsheba. Yeah. God had to let Bathsheba happen. Listen, Bathsheba had to happen to cure David of love for women. Bathsheba had to happen. I have my suspicion that after Bathsheba, he didn't marry new wives, didn't take new concubines. God says, enough. You've gotten the point now. Now, where I'm going is that, do you realize that David did not know he could do that? He didn't know. David never thought. Do you understand? This was a man who Uriah, not Uriah specifically, but amongst the group that Uriah belonged to, Uriah was one of the strong men of David. Yeah, no, he was one of them. Uriah the Hittite. He was mentioned specifically. You mentioned the 30 men around David. Uriah was one of them. One of them, three of them went to fetch water for him to drink. And they had to break through the camp of the Philistines to get the water. Do you know he refused to drink it? For the simple reason that they went at the risk to their lives. He said, drinking this is like drinking blood. Yet he killed that Uriah to cover his face. You know what God was saying to David? David, I was keeping you all this while. You're raising shoulder for me. When I see David there, that's why I said, look, but I realized that God said, you know, there's something that Bible calls something good. There was something good in David. He loved the Lord, listen to this, as much as he could in his generation. As much as he could in his generation, he loved the Lord. And the Lord took hold of that. Overlooked a lot of his excesses, a lot of the flesh in his life, but God had to cure all those things. This love for too many women, God said, this is not good. This is not good. God had to cure it before he died. So God allowed, I don't have time to explain it. Such a thing could not have happened with David, except two things happened. Of course, the final thing that God had to decree, let it happen. But usually what starts it, all right, is accusation. But God had to release the decree. Let David be. What God was getting out of it was that David will come to a realization of the kind of person that he was. And then finally, that Psalm 51 that we all read, he will write it. He will start uttering words like, create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Are you getting my point? I was saying all those men, see, when you get to heaven and you see them, respect them. You know why? God used them to set some, pardon me to use the word, some terrible examples. Many of us are not better than David. We wouldn't have better than David, but God will have covered for us all our lives and will have died in peace, thinking we're very righteous. But David said, God said, but you know, right? You know, be prophet now. You know, be king in Israel. There's no chapter of the Bible dedicated to your life, so you can go. But David is not worse than the person I'm talking about. But God said, no, David, you can't go. We have to write the story of Bathsheba with somebody. Pick David. Sometimes, you know, what's the name of that prophet that had to go and marry a harlot? Hosea. The day I read the story of Hosea, I looked God like this. I said, my name is Daniel, not Hosea. You get my point? So that God won't mistake me, say back here. I said, you get some jobs where you're not supposed to give person. I'm a man of God. Don't give me this. Or is it Ezekiel? Say, lie on one side, walk away naked, bare butt. People are looking at you, parking at all hours of the day because you're a prophet. Lord, I like suit too. I don't think the idea of walking naked in front of Igwe Madu. Brethren, I don't think I like it. But some prophets had to do that job. They had to do it to give a message to people at a time and to write scriptures down for you and I to read today. That is, God took their lives and sacrificed it for the rest of us. Are you getting my point? So it will be a terrible waste if you don't learn the lesson that they were supposed to leave for us to learn. So before you catch Bathsheba, pray your own prayer. Take Psalm 51. Even once you look at one sister twice, just go to Psalm. There's no need to fight. Do you get my point? There's no need for fight. Don't be saying, no. No, don't know this thing. I mean, it's a prayer. It's not hard. Just simply go to Psalm 51. 51. And just say, Lord. He said, nothing good dwells in this flesh, oh. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ. But you see, he said, be gracious to me, O Lord. O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my roving eyes. I mean, I don't mean blind me, but what I'm trying to say is, let me not be looking. No, seriously. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Add the blood of Jesus into this mix. You get my point? Tell him, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, because that washing is still going on. What is it about Jesus and the church? That he might wash her, purify her with the washing of water. So he's still doing it. It hasn't ended. Don't let's make it look like, you know, after I went to the cross, there's no other job to do. No, there's a job to do. This prayer is still relevant. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Remember, Peter looked at the man who had believed, gotten rid of all his magical arts, was baptized. What's his name? Simon. And he opened his mouth at the time and talked. And what did Peter say? You are still in the bondage of iniquity. Are you getting my point? You are still in a gall of bitterness. This man had given his life to Christ. There are people who have used that one to prove that he was not saved. He was.
After all, we'll talk about spirit, soul, and body. He has the spirit of God in him, now the spirit of Christ, but his soul was not yet renewed. So this scripture is very, very appropriate. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. You don't have to kill Uriah. You don't have to take Bathsheba before you pray this prayer. You know, one day, I remember the thing. I think yesterday. One day when the Spirit of God spoke a counsel by my wife's mouth to me. One day somebody invited me for something. I reasoned. Now, not the kind of invitation I should accept. It was not a bad thing. You know, everybody, it was not a bad thing. I mean, men of God were there, prominent people were there. But the person spoke and spoke very sweet talk, including the fact that you are going to be exposed. This was many years ago, up to 10 years now. We are going to expose you on a big platform. The person that mentioned the name of other person that would be speaking. And I considered that it was going to cost me 3 days. There's a reason why. You're going to take 3 days out of my life. Normally, listen. Normally, I don't give that a second thought. But the woman tried to persuade me and all of that. I said, okay, let me think about it. So I was thinking and thinking and thinking. Then my wife made a statement. Now, you wouldn't have thought about it until she made a statement. I said, Aswin, help me now. You like, help, no, I need to decide. I need to get back to this person. She now said, if it was one poor pastor that gave you this invitation, will you go? I suddenly stopped. I realized that I was thinking about it at all was the clout of people around there. You know, it sat on my head for more than 2 minutes. It was flesh that was speaking. I wasn't confused about as by the will of God. Wasn't my wife just broke it down in simple terms? If these people were not this rich, if they were not this influential, if they didn't have this kind of power, we'll be having this rumination about whether I should go or not. I said, lie. I will have known immediately that it's not the will of God. On the spot, I made my decision. Told the person, I'm very sorry. But I'm sorry, I have to decline your invitation. You know, I just explained. I didn't go on there. I just said, please, it's not convenient for me. For what I said was that it's too expensive for me. All right? But I thank God I wasn't asking them for money or anything. I just said, it's too expensive for me. He said, what would it take for? I said, you want me to come? Send a plane. Yeah, to make it a short trip. I'm in there, I'm back in 2 hours. I know it's done. But this one, I said, is too expensive for me. So by the time my wife said that, I realized that, whether I like it or not, you get my point? That's what they call flesh. Something unholy was speaking. That's why it took me so long to know the will of God. I'm saying all of this for us to understand that nobody overcomes temptation by his own strength. Every temptation, let me put it like this. There is nobody on this earth that if the temptation is heavy enough, will not buckle under it, weighing up for the grace of God. Anybody trying to tempt Christians, they don't know who's behind them yet. Do you get my point? Because see, if grace enters into, what's the name of our guys? Mishael, Azariah, Ananiah. When grace enters them, there's no fire you want to burn. They're not going to bow. Because it is not them that is standing. There's the grace of God working with them. So the job of believers, see, let me tell you something. What we need to do is to recognize these things. And please, let me just take a pause there and go back somewhere. Please listen to me carefully. Last time I introduced this, one major motivation for resisting temptation is to know the consequence. You know, I said that last time. It's a major motivation. The other day, somebody told me that in their church, they are doing a program against witchcraft. Do you understand? That they are praying against witchcraft. I'm not part of them. I don't know. All right? And that one said they are praying against the devil.
maybe like 15 days fast against the devil. And that one, they will tell you like it's 60 days against satanic operation and all of that. Is it bad? Is it good? I'm not going to comment on that, all right? It's possible it's bad. It's possible it's good. I'm not commenting. What I need to comment on for every Christian to understand, again, is the way spiritual things work. Satan, I need to say it one more time. I've been saying it over the years. Satan does not have the kind of power people ascribe to him. He can't kill at will. Especially Christians. He can't take anything that belongs to you at will. There is a massive limitation to his power. A witch cannot disturb your sleep. They can't press you at night. In fact, I make a joke when I'm teaching medical students. I say, when people have paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, they say which is pressing them. It's you I'm talking to. Most people here don't know what I'm talking about. You have to be a doctor or a nurse to understand what I just said. I think you're the only one around now that understands what I said. When I'm teaching medical students about heart failure, in the early stages of heart failure, if you lie down, you tend to get short of breath. So the person will have slept for about an hour. By the time he can't breathe well again, I say, they'll now wake up and say, which is pressing me? So they get up and shout the blood of their general overseer. So by the time they shout the blood and pace up and down, you know the way it is. The fluid will redistribute, the lungs will clear, and they'll now say, the blood of general overseer is working. It's not working. What you have is that you stood up. You're in the early stages of heart failure. I use this, that we have a good laugh in class. Because truly, no witch can press the child of God. They can't. They can't. They cannot. And Satan knows it. Please, I need to keep emphasizing this. And he knows it. That's why he didn't come to the garden to drive Adam and Eve out. He did not. He came to tempt them out. That's the only thing he does. He can't take what belongs to you. You are the one that can give it up to him. Please, you must understand this. The devil cannot. I saw somebody showed me something. I think I mentioned it the other time. I already bit of it out. One of our brothers. He said he got to in his office. Somebody dropped a piece of paper that they photocopied. Maybe the person was circulating it. I don't know. On prayer. Now listen to I'll bring out the prayer for you. If it's from your church and you are feeling guilty, there's no need to be angry with me. Go and learn the truth. There's no need. Because the truth is to set you free. Don't sit down there. Now listen to this. 21 prayer points for one evening's meeting. I'll read about three of them for you. Powers assigned to enforce delay after progress in my life. Die by fire. Satanic interference against my ears, peace, scatter in Jesus' name. Powers assigned to reduce the joy of my year, die in the name of Jesus. Every power enforcing instability in my year, be destroyed. The same thing written over 20 different ways. You want to hear the truth? I'm sorry to say this. These prayers have no meaning. They don't have any meaning. You want to know the truth? Doesn't mean anything. Like Enege will say, you may as well face these stars. And says twinkie twinkie. No, let's use an African one. Let's not use twinkie twinkie. I say tumbon tumbon. Yeah, finish it. Whatever it is. He may as well be doing that. It's play. And we like to gather in church and play. The one that just it keeps paining me is that when they don't know what to do, they say they are now groaning against witchcraft. You want to know the truth? It has no meaning. I will tell you again. I'm not inventing it in the scriptures. The Israelites were clamped like flocks of goats in their camps. When Balaam said, no enchantment works against them. He said, no witchcraft will be successful against these people. Why? They are the people of God. He said, gather yourselves, but you will be scattered. Why? Because God is on our side. That's what Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 8. Prepare for war. Gather yourself. Get your loins. Get ready for battle. But get ready to be scattered. Why? God is on our side.
Israel was not exactly conscious of the fact that Balaam was there doing anything. Now, listen to that's not what I want to talk about. I know you know that already. It's the second part that I want to remind us of. Many of us don't know it happened until you go to Revelation. And you now know Balaam did not go home. He called Balak and said, the way these people are, there is nothing you can do. Balak said, there has to be something. He said, well, the only thing you can do is turn their God against them. How do I do that? And that's what I'm talking about, temptation. He said, organize a feast now. Everybody loves a party. Organize a feast. Then get the fine girls in your land. You know how to dress them up, don't you? Balak said, we do. And let them go now and invite the Israelite men to come. They will come. And you know, we're enough for the mercy of God. All right? That would have been the end of that group, that nation. God had to sacrifice 23,000 to stop the advancement of the plague. God had to kill all the ones that joined themselves to the Baal of Peor. What am I going to say? That is what temptation is. It's Satan's road into your life. That is what temptation is. It's Satan's road into your life. See, no matter what he tries to give you, just know that at the end of the day, Satan will have a road into your life. It's like, you know, these days of internet and all of that, you know, the way the web is now, the World Wide Web, if you miss ever, you know, there are scriptures that did not apply to digital age until recently. No, there are scriptures I did not know about God hiding you under his canopy. I didn't know you needed it on the internet. Before it was it's a spiritual thing. Now it's on the internet. God has to hide you in the corner of, you know, or in his temple. Because there are all kinds of people out there. The way, now, the way I'm going is that when they want to catch you, they will offer you something. That's where I'm going. Many things you look at in secret, nobody is seeing. Forget whether anybody catch you or they didn't catch you. The person offering it to you is sinking something to your digital soul. They can so enter your digital soul that they take all your money. They can enter your digital soul that they end your physical, political life. Think about it. There's one funny guy that died some time ago. A convicted pedophile. America. What's his name now? You know now. You know when Epstein was doing what he was doing? All those men thought they were enjoying in secret. One man said something. He was analyzing Epstein. He said that he was analyzing why people like, let me not mention it, some of these big names, they fell for it. He said they were billionaires. They're very rich people, multi-millionaires, influential. He said, now listen, please, don't mind what he said. I just have to repeat it. He said they can easily pay for sex. He said, what they can't pay for is silence after. Did you get that?
Yes.
He said, that was what Epstein offered them. That's where they were all going. What they did not know was that, now, do you realize, as at last week, Prince Andrew is now being recommended for removal from the lineage, you know, the lineage of who can be king. He said, remove it. I thought it's not number four, number five to the throne. He said, remove it. First, they removed the name Prince. That was some time ago. Then police arrested him and took him in for questioning. And they never used the name Prince Andrew for him again. They now give that his family long name. That's what now used for him. The guy, I'm sure he's looking back and saying, what was I thinking? Old man, he was about 40. They are carrying small, small girls, 15-year-old girls to go and give him. And he was collecting. Jeffrey Epstein has over, well, it's late. He had over 3 million files for people to go through. Pictures, documents. He said every chandelier there had a camera. Yeah, yes, on his island. It was Sin Island. You did anything you liked. But what they did not know, I'm talking about temptation, that this is how the devil entered their lives. And he'll plant, it's called a worm in computer science. He'll plant his worm inside there. You won't know it's there until he activates it later. Many people's destinies have been taken because they allow Satan to enter into their lives. They don't. See, let me tell you, this generation, you see, there are some rich men that it is women, you know, sex that they used to collect them. Most of us in this, our country, is money. It is a more important need than... Now, people don't chop belly food. They look for saying be pedophile. You can't be a pedophile if you're so poor. You understand my point? You are a foodophile, you know, when you have not eaten. I said a foodophile. You're looking for money. And it is those areas of our needs that Satan comes in through. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So bear it in mind. Please, don't ever forget it. Why we resist temptation is because without it, that is, without falling for that sin, Satan has no road into our lives. Please, don't think about it. Let's not look at it from this perspective. Will I be caught? Will I get something? Will I get nothing? What? No, just don't think about it. How much money is it worth? You know, I see some very crazy debates that human beings have sometimes. And I look and say, hey, guys don't understand the real things going on in life. Many years ago, somebody posted one. And I was watching in a church forum. I was watching people debate. And I said, Kai, ignorance na bad thing, no. They said, if you get, now let me use today's Naira. The night before your, or a day before your wedding. Oh boy. Just 11 days ago. This guy married the other, today is Tuesday. So, yeah, that's how it is. Is it 9 or 10 days ago? But you can calculate, all right? That's about 10 days ago. He got married. So I assume on Thursday, they suddenly called. That was the idea. They called you on Thursday to come to Abuja. And one serious job is going to land. You're going to have a contract that's worth maybe like, today's Naira, 10 billion Naira. That time they said 300 million Naira. And that's quite some time ago. So let's just say today now, 3 billion Naira. The discussion was that, will you go or not go? Or more, come and see, talk. Now, first, let's get it clear. It's a contract, so it's not even, that's what they said, that discussion here. So it's not, you don't even know how much money. So let's just assume you get a job, you go there, today, 500 million Naira will come into your pocket. And your wedding is supposed to be on Saturday, and they took this on Friday, Friday morning, you have to go, and you cannot come back till Monday. So, the invitation you give me, you have to call me, say, Pastor, forget it too. If I rearrange my life because of you, you tell me, please, Pastor, when I come, I'll come and see you. And your plan is to give me maybe 1 million Naira offering so that I will forgive your sins. This is how you do with your father-in-law, your uncles that came all the way from Kaduna, you know, all those kind of things. So that was what the discussion was. One guy said something. He was so vociferous about it. That what is it? That after all, the only person you owe is your wife. That she will understand. By the time you come back with this amount of money, and I said, myself, this is church. Oh. So what would have happened if this was in beer parlor? This is church. Oh. If this was an APC meeting, this is church. Oh. The one I saw recently, all right, this one was church, but this one was just a normal skit they do. They said, see, is it $30 billion? Let's just make it a reasonable figure, $1 billion. Your mother is in the fire. Your wife is in the fire. Or they say your fiance or your girlfriend is in the fire. Your mother is in the fire. Your father, your mother, this young woman, and then 30 billion. Let's just say 1 billion to make it easy to relate with. Dollars. Say, so which one will you save? They now came and interviewed one young man. He didn't say he'll save the 30 billion. He just said, my father will understand. That's all he said. He said, my father will understand now that I have to save the whole family. Are you getting the gist? Basically, he agreed that he will condemn all the three loved ones in his life to save money. Now, please, believers, listen to what I want to say. Anytime this kind of hypothetical situations come up, even if it is self-deception, go for righteousness. They say, I just deceive yourself. At least, you thank God that right now, I'm not under that pressure. So let me, in peace of mind, make the right choice. I will know that money cannot be saved. So it's amongst the three people now that I should not be saying. What I told myself is that I'll just tell God, say, please, let's not make this thing hard. Can you remove two people and let me join inside? If you have to, do you get my point? Because how will I live with myself afterwards? Say, God, let me enter inside. Remove two people that you love. Don't put me on that. Like Ezekiel said, thou knowest, Lord.
That's what Ezekiel said. That would know his lot. My own answer is I look. I say, first, money is not an option because, let me tell you, you don't like, because they said $30 billion. He said, Pastor Mark, you don't have $30 billion. I do. Give it to me, you will know whether, if I don't even, you don't have $30 billion. So why can you, there are temptations that will not even listen to you because I know you don't have, you can't give it. You can't. And if Elon Musk desire to be the one to offer it, I know it's of the devil. Do you get my point? So, just bring $500 million, which you probably, maybe you have. It's not as if I don't like it. It's just that God has given me understanding. I see beyond the money. That's where I'm going. Suddenly, this is how I do. I look behind, say, who's making this offer? I start asking, who's making this offer? It can't be God. And if it is God, it's a test. So I will go and ask myself, which one will God want me to choose? Well, it can't be money because there are so many scriptures. If wealth increases, don't set your mind on it. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Love not the world or the things that are in the world. There are so many scriptures that out of fear of God alone, I can't even for 1 second consider taking the money. It's the human beings I have to now be considering. How did God rank them in my life? Are you getting my point? That discussion that they were having in church that day, I felt like telling that man who was so vociferous, I said, you see, you're talking, now, no insult intended, just fact. You're talking like a fool. No insult intended, just fact. A fool is an ignorant person who doesn't know what's going on. We are making a bargain for your soul. You think it's about money. This bargain is for your soul. It's not about money. I wish you would understand. It is a bargain for your soul. It is not about money. You invited us for a wedding on Saturday, and you are willing to sacrifice all of us for money. That's what you are saying to God. Forget the amount. We are testing the integrity of your soul. That's what we are testing. Does his word matter to him? Does the opinion of people, that is like how he treats people, does it matter to him? Does he love money more than he loves human relationships, human souls, people's time? How does he value people? Once you leave all of us stranded, including the woman, you may even manage to marry after 2 weeks. As we are able to gather us back. You may be able to do all of those things, but one record has gone into heaven. This guy will sell anything for money. What am I trying to say? As a result, they are called demons. People think demons are fairy tales. They are real. 2, 3, 4 demons will jump into your life and they will take control of you from that day. You don't understand. The things you ask for is not all you get. There are things that are attached to it. It's part of the bag and you can't, whatever God has joined together, you can't put that sound up. After that one, you'll be very well to do. After 6 years, one of the demons will take your sleep and you won't get it back. Every night you lie down in bed, you will lie down for hours. You won't be able to sleep. You will pray from now till tomorrow. God will say, hey, oh boy. Remember that wedding you canceled? That was when you sold his sleep. That's the guy who bought it. His name is Insomnia. It's a demon. It will get to a time, you will suddenly be afraid of the dark. You won't know why. When you're a child, you're now in your late 30s, early 40s. But realize that if everybody leaves you, you panic. In your own house, you start hearing voices. Once everybody goes away, you start feeling that somebody's opening the door. Somebody closes. You will check. Hi, God. One night, you go climb up. Now, you don't build better duplex now. One night, you will climb up and down like 15 times, checking doors. You will check that your front door 8 times. And you won't know. You sold your peace of mind a few years ago. The money is good. That's why you have such a house. You will have CCTV in every corner. If we enter your room, one whole wall will be plastered with screens. Total screens in that room. Oh boy, how many of you put for us? 64. You put 64 screens. You will not even be able to watch television again. You are watching CCTV. Once you lie down, I say you're going to change channel for CCTV. Oh my God. Chameleon will now be passing your window. When you just say, I saw something green just now. You check it, it's now yellow. You check it again. It's now red. Say, Mogbe. You say, who is doing this to me? Because I don't know. Don't talk. You sold your peace of mind.
for money 10 years ago. You'll now be... A lot of people don't know. That's the point I'm making. A lot of people don't know. Like I keep on saying, it sounds like a humorous thing. I tell pastor, I say, what? Don't be afraid of witch. Just don't sleep with one. I say, what's your own? There's no witch. Witch can't press you at night. When they want to press you, they physically press you. They give you massage. That's what I mean. They will rub your neck. Idiot, you will fall asleep there. Samson and Delilah, that principle exists till today. Go and read my book. Beyond Gifts and Talents. Is there? Even afraid of witch. Afraid of witch for what now? All the witches around, they have complete set of teeth. It's not one old woman with one tooth, one premolar, and one canine. Those are not successful witches. Real witch, has eyelashes. Fixed. When she blinks like this, go be like flamingo, one take off. Bone straight. Mary Kay Cosmetics. Whichever one you want, she'll give it to you now. She won't press you at night first. She'll press you during the day. Give you a very nice massage. And the fool will collect it. Solomon, you know, Solomon knew. Solomon said, look at the mugu. He's following her to his death. Solomon said, he does not know that the road to her house leads to the grave. He called him a naive young man. No one has people doing prayer meeting against witchcraft. I said, if that's not what you mean, forget it. Gather the bro, say, today prayer meeting against witchcraft. Everybody say after me, I possess my body in honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, the lust of the flesh is not my portion. The lust of the eyes is not my portion. The pride of life, I reject it. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you can't. That's witchcraft prayer. That is witchcraft prayer. That is witchcraft prayer. If you can't pray like that, stop wasting your time. Stop groaning. When Jeffrey Epstein was giving men, in quote, good times, they didn't know that their destinies were being sold. People have said all kinds of, they did blackmail. I said, see, forget blackmail. That is satanic worship. If you call that guy a high priest of Satan, I will believe it. Listen, my people, when you are resisting temptation, what you are doing is resisting the devil. Resisting the power of the devil in your life. That's what you are doing. You are saying, Satan, you can't control me. That's what you are saying to Satan. Oh boy, you can't control me. This thing you want me to eat, I don't want to eat. This bribe you want me to take, I don't want to take. You start using scriptures, and you know, it's our school of prayer. So let me get back to where we began from. Our help comes from the Lord. What I've just tried to do is to explain why you must go for that help. Because, you see, I was talking about David. God didn't impose that help on David. David needed to come and look for it. If David had gone to seek him for it, he would have given him. He would have helped him. As he was looking at Bathsheba, somebody would have come and said, "Oga, look this way. They are attacking the gates." He will go and fight. Along the way, God will help him to understand. If he had gone to look for the help, I'm convinced the main problem with David was that he did not recognize the problem. Do you get my point? Yeah, he did not recognize it. You see, when you see men giving arguments, after all, those days, God allowed men to marry many wives. I said, see, there are arguments I don't like. Because apparently me and you are not facing the same direction in life. Are you getting my point? We are not facing it. Nobody has ever told, give me the name of the reigning athletes now. Okay, at least I know that girl, Toby Amusha. You know Toby Amusha? You know Toby now? This guy looking like he had never heard of Toby. You know the girl? She's in your church? Okay, oh, she's a redeemed member. But is he in Nigeria or in America? Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Tell me, say the redeemed Christian Church of God. He's an athlete. She's a world record holder in 110 meters hurdles, right? Good. If you start having a discussion that pounded yam is not banned by IAAF, will she join you? You know what I call the pounded yam? With egusi soup. that IAAF did not say we can't eat it before our race. You think Otobia Mushon will answer you? She will not answer you. Now, I'm not talking about whether performance enhancing drugs are allowed or not. I'm talking about pounded yam food with egusi. I mentioned egusi because if you eat pounded yam with egusi, if you don't go into enter coma, you are strong. Or before the race, time is before the race, say, I'm just coming from Ogu. This is Opa from Ogu. Toby, 2 rounds. It's like the food of Elijah. Please, let me ask, is she going to answer you? We should enter into an argument with you that IAAF, well, those IAAF, that's what I mean, International Athletics something Federation, all right? Uh-huh. That they didn't ban it. We should get into a discussion with you on whether pandayam is banned or no. It is called every sin that doth easily beset. Anything that hinders my race. In the race that I have to win, the gap between me and the next person is less than half a second. If I win, it's a female athlete. So let's give her 11 seconds. All right. 11 point. Okay. They do 110 meters hurdles. So let's just give her 12 seconds. If I win with 12.1 seconds, the person that I beat is 12.05. On the 12.15. The person after her is 12.19. The person after her is 13. You don't understand. You are arguing with me. You are trying to explain proof to me that OPA is accepted by IAAF. I don't care. It will weigh me down. I don't care. It's going to slow me down. Maybe, you know, I think every Christian should be made to go and sit down in an athletic camp, in a camp for athletics, for some time, and see discipline. You see, I don't want to tell you stories now, the last Winter Olympics just ended a few days ago. When you hear the kind of scandals they were talking about, there are things not banned, though, but people were just altering their body shape. Because when they go into the air, air resistance can make the difference whether you jump half a meter or more. And you're talking about 60 meters. Maybe you'll be able to do 60.5. And they're talking about, is this allowed? Is this not allowed? If you see the training, the day I watched one in an air, what they call an air tunnel, a wind tunnel, they stand on something, checking the resistance, ski. And this, I saw this guy checking where he should put his finger or not put his finger. Hey, and a Christian is now coming to meet me that God allowed David to marry 6 wives. Oh boy, please, oh Father God, thank you for the 6 wives you allowed us. Since a man is asking me whether I can marry 6 wives, give him his 6 and take 5 from my own. Thank you. Add to him and give him 11. Instead of me sitting down arguing with him on whether it is allowed or it's not allowed. Even if it's lawful, is it expedient? That's what Paul said. So the arguments I don't go get into, because I said, see, you and me, we don't have the same problem in this life. You are thinking of what you can enjoy while you're on earth. I'm thinking about my place in eternity. We are not members of the same church. That's the summary. We are not in the same WhatsApp group. We are not in the same WhatsApp group. When it comes to, see, let me talk about something. What we call sin. There are some fundamental and general sin. Are you getting my point? That is sin for everybody. Lying is sin for everybody. Are you getting my point? It is sin for everybody. Bearing false witness is a sin unto death for everybody. Stealing, you understand? But many people think that is where sin starts, that's where it ends. The amount of food you eat or don't eat is a sin for some people. Personally, God has even helped me. I have a simple rule. You are not hungry, don't eat. But let me give you one that will make you laugh. Let's assume I came for your wedding now. I chopped during your wedding. I'm not saying I didn't chop. I chopped. I drank. You understand? If people were surprised, say, what do I want? I asked for abacha. They were like, sir, I said, yes, I want abacha. It's abacha I want. They don't want to swallow. I want to swallow abacha. Leave me alone. But let's assume I'm going somewhere. And I sit down there. And somebody say, let's go. And I say, they're about to serve food. Give me 15 more minutes. God had warned me never to do that again. If you have where to go, get up and go. Food is not allowed to give me direction. It's not a sin to most people, though. But me, I have learned it the hard way. If I wait behind, I will use Ogboju to chop that food. 2 days. No, it's not about 2 days. God will say, I warned you. Nothing wrong with the food, though. But that I'm beginning to make choices for my life. You see, when people say, you need to go abroad, I laugh at all of them. I say, don't bother bringing up some arguments with me. You don't have a problem. Me, I have. If I rent a house where God did not send me, I can't live there. Because every day I'll be checking whether it will collapse or it will not collapse. You are comfortable. You can travel to any country you like. You send yourself where God didn't send you. But me, God has taught me so much that the principle of where you are, the God send you there, is so strong in my mind. I wake up in the morning, I can almost hear him say, where are you? What's the second question? What are you doing there? So what may be like a trivial thing to somebody is a sin to some people. It looks trivial to somebody else. But for some people, it is a serious iniquity. They are judged for it. Mr. Hebo, you are getting my point. I'm saying this because, see, disobedience, that's the way it is. Every time there's disobedience in your life, a foothold is given to the devil in it. Did you hear what I said? Every amount of disobedience you have in your life is a space you have given to the devil. When the Bible says you resist the devil, it means make sure you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that you submit to God. That's how you resist the devil. That's how you don't give him room in your life. Any amount of disobedience is space given to the devil. I will say one more time before I leave that. Any amount of disobedience is what? Space given to the devil. And he will occupy it. And he's never satisfied with the one you give him. He starts pushing for more. He's never satisfied. That one you gave him, he's pushing for more. And once you start getting used to disobedience, you know what happens? You start greater amounts of disobedience. You know why God took away Moses? He disobeyed once. God said, don't start. People think he was angry. He wasn't angry. He said, Lord, I'm not accusing you of anything, no. All right? Not a bad thing, but you understand? I want to explain something. All that because you did not, how did he say it again? You did not sanctify me or honor me and do this one in front of the people and all of those things. Now, excuse. What did I call it? God, I just want to say something, all right? Please, you understand what I'm saying? And they understand. God was just pretending to be angry. He was not as angry as he was showing love. He was not as angry as pitiful. That is like being pitiful towards Moses. He was pitying Moses. He was not as angry as he was caring. He was not as angry as he was concerned. Once Moses disobeyed once, God said he will disobey again. He said, Moses, he's not a disobedient person. If it's Caleb, leave him, a small boy. If it's Moses, in fact, if it's Aaron, then leave that one. That one, I'm Mr. Disobedience. But if it is Moses, no, disobedience is not normal. One disobedience, he will do another one. Why? Because the man had gotten tired. Moses had gotten tired. God was not particularly angry with him, I can tell you that. God was rescuing him from further disobedience. Said, this man is okay. Come and come home. You like our Nigerian English there? Come and come home. Oh yeah? Kazo. Oh, come here, be coming. Because if I put here longer, hey, leave Moses for the next 40 years. He'll build the calf going back to Egypt. It's unbelievable, but I'm telling you. What do you think happened to Solomon? You think Solomon wanted to be building calf for those small girls? See, if you marry small girls, you must build calf. No, you will build. Other than Solomon was doing. You know what? The spirits, let me use the word. Yeah, spirit is good. The spirits of those girls will wear you out. They will wear you out. See, Because one of the responsibilities of a man of God, all right? I don't mean preacher now. Somebody who's working with God. One of the responsibilities, for example, you're a father in a home. God deliberately puts your wife and your children there as tempters to tempt your strength. Yeah, sometimes you put your foot down against everybody. God knows you know what is right to do, and you won't say anything again. All the arguments they are giving you are satanic against what is right to do. God said, you must do it too. You will stand there. When you have strength, you will stand. You say, sorry, wife. No, that's not going to happen in this home. But your daughter said, tell your daughter, daddy said no. No, you're young. You don't have a problem. Your strength is there. You put everybody on the path of righteousness. Okay, your wife said, come. You can't dress like that. Tell your daughter, two of you, I don't want that. Hey, but it doesn't, I said no. No is no. You talk from now to tomorrow. I've given my word, though. After some time, if they say you get a second wife, by the time you say no here, no there, no there, and three women are using their spirits against you. What are you saying? You know, next thing you say, okay, if you like it like that now, after they will ask you for money to buy gold to build a calf. Me, I don't believe in calf worship, but take. You have paid for, yeah, you pay for the calf. I don't believe in calf worship, but you have paid for the calf. Next year, they will come. Daddy, it's my birthday tomorrow. Oh, what do you like? Will you give me anything I'll ask for? Yes. We're having a special party at my calf temple. You will come now. The calf? You built it? You know, you've never been there. Since you gave her money the other time. Your name is Solomon. You haven't gone there. Say, but you are the one that gave me the money. I did? Okay. So you are coming. Then your friends will not come. You see, just go. You know these women? The next thing you will go there. You are a special guest of honor at a calf temple. So the order of service that everybody must bow at this particular point. Then on social media, they will capture Solomon back. If you marry many small, small girls, you will bow. You will build calf. You will bow. Why? They will wear out your strength. They will. Why did God put Moses? He said, it's okay. Moses is getting tired. Lest one disobedience leads to another. Let him come home. Brethren, let me stop here. You have to say, dear Father, I will not allow Satan into my life. That's the prayer you are going to pray. You will pray. How do you resist temptation? Number one, know the importance of it. It's the way by which Satan gets hold in your life. Second principle we mention is that it's not your strength. You don't resist Satan by your strength. You don't. What you do is just one first thing. You will lay your life down again on the altar for God. That, Lord, I serve you and nobody else. Let's begin to pray. That's one first prayer. That's dedication. This one, I am not going to serve Satan, no. I'm not going to serve the world. I'm not going to serve my own ideas. I'm going to serve you and only you. That's what we begin the prayer from. Say, Lord, you alone I will serve. Only you I will worship. Remember when we are praying, we use the scriptures. We don't use our strength. He said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Please open your Bibles quickly. We are going to pray from there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Are we all there now? All right. So let's read together. Okay, I'll start. One, two, let's go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, that's all we want to read. Okay? He said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, you present it as a living and holy sacrifice. Now, we are going to take a moment to pray and say, Lord, again, I present my body to you as a living and holy sacrifice. What does that mean? I live for you alone. Satan is always getting people to serve him. But say to the Lord, that I will obey only you. My body is given to you again today. Now, this is something you do again and again. You may have done it before. Do it all the days of your life. That's it. It's very important. So this world will have no attraction for me. Just say it. You know, you control yourself with your utterances. You say to the Lord, because you know that it's not you that's going to resist. This world, they keep coming. They keep coming. Go and see Jesus Christ. They never left him alone. There was a temptation of the mount, you know. After baptism, Satan, 3 temptations, you know. But they didn't leave him alone, no. There was a time they came to make him a king. They didn't leave him alone, no. There was a time his family members came to take him away from ministry. They say he's beside his mind. He has gone mad. They didn't leave him alone, no. There was a time somebody came to try to give him another mission. Made him a judge and an arbiter. Jesus said, who made me a judge and arbiter over you? They never left him alone. And of course, you know the last one in the garden. The pain was telling him, you don't have to come this way. So today again, you lay yourself down. Say, Father, I present my body, my whole being as a living and holy sacrifice. I present my body and I declare that this body will serve you. It will serve you alone. It will serve you. It will serve you alone. That's how we overcome. That's where overcoming comes from. That's where overcoming comes from. You are saying to the Lord, it's only his voice you will hear. Because every temptation is a voice you are hearing. So say to the Lord, I am your sheep. I know your voice. Another declaration. You need to say that to the Lord. I am your sheep. I know your voice. That's another important declaration we must make. Oh. I am your sheep. Your voice only I will hear. You need to keep on uttering it. The voice of the enemy I won't listen to. The voice of this world I will not listen to. The things that attract people, I refuse them attracting me. There are 3 things in this world, John said. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Say to the Lord again, I reject the lust of the eyes. I reject the lust of the flesh. And I reject that boastful pride of life. Now, talk to the Lord again. Now, because of what we have explained, it's in the scriptures like that. It's, you know, one of the ways I pray is I tell the Lord stories. Actually, it's me hearing that boost of my faith, but I tell the Lord stories. You tell the Lord again, say, I remember the story of Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Lord, you stood by them so they did not bow to the idol, to the image of gold, even when faced with the temptation of death, with the threat of death. When their lives were put at risk, say, Lord, be with me also. It's a very simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Say, be with me also. Well, Jesus said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. It's a very simple prayer. Say, be with me also. God knows what you mean by that. Because the time will come, you'll be tried. Your life will be put at, you know, jeopardy. Threats will be made against you. Now pray. Say, Lord, the way you were with Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, as they faced the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't them. Say, Lord, I know it was not them. It was you walking with them. It's called grace. Say, Lord, I know grace was with them. Let grace be with me. Say, Lord, let grace be with me. No matter the temptation of life, say, Lord, let grace be with me. I want to take a minute. Think about, you know, different people have different things. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. That is in the university. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Now, people have different things that they can call their what they do. I know my temptations that come to my profession. Like I say, the Bible says that cleaves wood will be hurt by it. What it means is that the risk of for somebody whose job is to cut trees is that it might fall upon you. Either breaks an edge. The risk associated with that job is a serpent biting. You are a preacher. The risk associated is for you to use your power to get your own needs met. It's called turning your stones to bread. You are a policeman. The risk is for you to take things from people with the authority of your office. There are all kinds of things. We all know the kind of temptations that come our way. The Bible says we should draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, take a few minutes and pray. Say, Lord, these are my temptations. Just acknowledging them. and say, Lord, you are bigger than them. Say, Lord, you are bigger than them. The God of Ananias, there's a reason why you're calling him that name. The God of Azariah, the God of Mishael, and of course, the God of Daniel. Young men and men who stood in Babylon against the temptations. Say, Lord, be with me in the face of these temptations so that I reject them. This is what men do. This is what women do. I say before your throne, I will not do it. I'm confessing and laying myself down on your altar. There are those who need to confess. People are abandoning their ministry because of better life. It's a temptation. The temptation is not always to steal and to commit and adultery and fornication. No. There are other temptations that are possibly more grievous. God keeps you somewhere. He will say, where are you? Say to the Lord, may I not abandon where you kept me? Because Thessalonica is better. I'm referring to Demas. Say, Lord, the way you were with Timothy, so that he stood with Timothy, with Paul. Paul said concerning Timothy, he has said with me in the course of this gospel as a young man serving his father, as a son serving the father. And he let us know, endure hardship with me. Suffer hardship with me as a true. So Timothy suffered hardship, but he did not desert Saul. Paul. He didn't desert him. Say, the God of Timothy, be with me also. That's what we mean. The Spirit of God that you planted inside these men to stand. You know, Jesus told Peter, pray that you will not enter into temptation. That's the prayer you are praying. Remember, he said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Pray. The prince of this world may come, but you will not have anything in me. I said something earlier. Paul said, if you see anybody overtaking an offense, that's where you learn your lesson from. You don't wait for to fall into it. Once somebody else is overtaken, that's when you begin to pray. There's a principle there. The principle is that many people wait too late to ask for help. Daniel and Co., they asked for that help as soon as they enter Babylon, because before there was trouble. It's now you start asking for help. Maybe a single lady. You've heard stories of how women behaved in their marriages and it broke. Say, Lord, I won't behave like this. Give me help. Give me that spirit of Sarah. Sarah who received the strength to conceive. Sarah who kept that home together. Sarah whose faith was great like that of Abraham. You are praying that prayer and you're not even married yet. Many people wait for sin to conceive. By that time, it's too late. If you want to overcome temptation, even before it comes, we'll start making our dedications. We learn from the failings of other people and we take our matters to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself. If you're a preacher, dedicate. I won't twist your word because I'm hungry. Father, let me not turn my stones to bread. It's a crucial prayer point. Let me not turn my stones to bread. Let me not turn my stones to bread. A time will come, they will come, because you are so popular. You are so well known. Many people listen to you. They will try to make you king. Say, Lord, I will not be a king except for the throne you have kept me on. A king in my own assignment. Pray that prayer. Earthly kingship is not my portion. Many ministers are falling for it every day. And I understand where the temptation comes from. When 100,000 people are listening to you, politicians won't let you rest. When 1 million people will respond to your word, Abba, which other platform are they looking for apart from yours? But right now, ahead of time, dedicate your pulpit to the Lord. Say, Lord, only righteousness, words of holiness, words of dedication to things eternal. That's what I'll use his authority and this pulpit for. Say, Lord, mount guard over my tongue for me. That's where it begins. People say things that they are not supposed to say. Say, Lord, mount guard over my tongue. Mount guard over my tongue.
Say, Lord, mount guard over my tongue.
Give the Lord thanks because he has heard it for this evening. Say, Father, we thank you. Such beautiful words you have given us, such instructions you have given us. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you for the throne of grace. Thank you for the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Say, Lord, I thank you. Give him praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Praise the Lord. Like you all know, it's a school of prayers. So we have learned some things which I don't think the time we have spent here is enough time to do that prayer. Let's take it home and continue in that prayer.